again, thank you for being here. Now, I'm not going to say anything today that's new. I'm not going to read any scripture to you today that's new. But I am going to be point blank about something in a few moments, and I hope that you bear with me. I want you to understand something. I read a book several years ago about church attendance. And obviously, the most attended Sunday in any given denomination over the last 100 years is Easter Sunday. The least attended Sunday nationwide is the Sunday after Easter. We need to understand something, folks. We're glad that you're here. We love you for being here. I mean, some of you go to your own church and you came here to maybe see a grandchild or a child sing. But folks, this is about something bigger than you and bigger than me. And this is about the celebration of something. But you can't celebrate something unless you really live it and you believe it. A good evangelist friend of mine called me about a year ago. Been in evangelism work for over 30 years. He said, in the last 3 years, you know who's been coming to salvation more in the last 3 years than anything else? Church members that have been coming to church for years are getting saved. Now what does that tell you and me? This building won't save you. You can come here. We're glad that you're here. We're thrilled to death that you're here. But your attendance here doesn't save you. The only thing that saves you is a true belief by faith that Jesus Christ is alive today and well and coming back soon for His people. Amen. If you believe that, you are saved. Let's take a look at some scripture. All right, Brother Larry, I'm ready if you are. You know this scripture, but let's look at it. Now, late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, it's going to be Sunday, came the two Marys. They're going to come to the gravesite. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, rolled away the stone, and sat on it. All right, Larry. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. There's no doubt this was an angel. Let's make sure we understand that. And the fear of him, the watchers did quake and become as dead men. Understand, there was guards all around this gravesite because everybody just thought for surely somebody would come and try to steal the body of Jesus. They got all these guards, got all these people. Jesus is in the tomb. Jesus is dead. And all the guards. All of a sudden, the angel comes, rolls the stone, rolls it, opens the grave, sits there. Now let me tell you something. Guards are tough. But you let an angel come in front of me, I'm going to act like I'm dead too. And they just shook and they just act like they were asleep. They weren't going to go against no angel. No angel from God. And look what it says. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who's been crucified. Okay, Larry. He's not here. Say it with me. For he is what?
Risen.
Say it again.
Risen.
One more time.
Risen.
Even as he said, come to the place where the Lord lies. He said, look. You see anybody in here? Now there's been guards all over it. Nobody stole the body. But there's not a body in the grave. Look. Look. Now, I'll tell you what's neat about this. When no men came back to the grave, it was a woman. And they came back to give honor to someone whom they loved. But he's not there. He's not there. Do you get it? Now look what it says. Go quickly. Tell his disciples. watch this, women, don't tell the men to join the party. He is risen from the dead, and he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. I did my job, I told you. All right, Larry, here we go. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Can you imagine? They don't know what to think. Jesus is not there, but an angel says, he'll meet you. Come on. They're scared. They're happy. They don't know what to think. They're excited. They're nervous. Is this true? Can this be true? You get the picture? Huh? And they ran. Bring his disciples word. And behold, look what happens. Don't you see this? Jesus met them saying, hello! And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. All he had to say was hello. Listen to me closely. Listen to me very closely. If you know Jesus Christ, you know. You know his voice. When he said hello, they bowed down. They worshiped him. One of the other gospels says, he says to them, calm down. They're hanging all over him. Hugging him. He's alive. They're excited. They won't let him go. Can you imagine? It's like you thought somebody was dead and all of a sudden you walk up on the street and there they are. You want to hug. You don't ever want to let them go. And he's like, you got to let me go. Because actually, the ministry is just starting. Now, the Bible also says, 40 days from this day, he's going to send. And he's going to leave this world. All of his followers are sitting there watching. He ascends. And the angel says, what are you doing? You're just looking up. Get back to work. Get back to serving Jesus. Get back to living for Jesus. Why? Because the same Jesus that you just visibly saw leave is coming back again. In the same way as you see me. Now, does this get anybody excited at all? Because let me tell you why it ought to get you excited. Number one, if you're lost, it ought to scare you to death. But if you're saved, you ought to be more excited than ever. The Bible has all types of things in it that what we would call predictions of when Jesus is coming. And certain things through history have had to be completed before Jesus can come again. And I'm here to tell you, the people who follow me on the internet, follow me in this congregation, know every single thing has been fulfilled. Jesus can come today. I hope he does. I'd love for him to come today. Because every time I turn that TV on, every time I turn the internet on, something's wild. If it ain't North Korea, then it's Syria. But I'm telling you this right now, and I've told you this for years and years. Watch the Middle East. Because everything from here on out is going to happen in the Middle East. This world has gone about as crazy as it can against God. And about the time that they think that God cannot even be spoken in this world, the trumpet's going to sound. Now, I say all that to get to this point. You have a choice to make in life about Jesus. And it's real simple. And it's simply this. Either you believe or you don't. If you don't believe, then you don't believe. You don't believe he ever was here. You don't believe he ever lived here. You don't believe he ever died. You don't believe he was the Son of God. So I don't know what you believe when death comes. But if you do believe, and you've accepted the fact that he did come here, born of a virgin, lived 33 years, had a ministry, died on a cross, and he did die on a cross. The most painful death you can imagine. Did it for you, did it for me. And when he did that, they thought they were rid of him. Buried him in a tomb. Then we pick it up on Easter. And we know the tomb rolls away. The stone rolls away. Jesus comes out. Jesus is alive. Spends 40 days here doing some last minute things. And then he ascends to go home. A few days later, here comes the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a powerful entity. And that's what's alive today in the world. But one day, he's coming. Now, you've been hearing this all your life. You've been in church. Every generation has heard it. But I promise you, as I stand here, in my 30 years of being here, the truth is, he's coming. He's coming. Now, who's ready and who's not? How do you get ready? You believe. You believe in Jesus Christ. You went there. You didn't see it. But you believe what the Bible says. You believe that he died. You believe he arose from the grave. You believe he's coming back again. You didn't see it. How do you do that? You believe it by faith. That's what faith is. I don't know whether or not that pew will hold me up, but I'll sit in it like it will. It can fall to the ground. But I've got faith that will hold me up. And let me say this. Even if we're wrong, what have you got to lose? Jesus died for you. Loves you. Cares for you. Is coming back again. But he's coming back for his people. His people. Now how do you become a part of the family of God? You do that by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, when you believe in him, that's just the beginning. Somehow, we've got all messed up in the world saying that that's the end of it. I accept Jesus, I walk down the aisle, I take the preacher's hands, we put you in the water, we dunk you, then you go, and we don't ever see you again. You ever seen anything like that before? That's how it works. Once you're saved, it's just the beginning. You want to be in God's house where the gospel is being preached. You want to be in God's house where you're loved. There's churches all over this place. There's places all over this planet where you can go to church and have the freedom to do that. Especially in this country. Now understand this. Church don't save you. This building don't save you. When we leave this world, this building ain't going with me. It's going to sit right here and going to rot. Because it's not all about brick and stone. It's all about your heart. It's all about what's inside you. It's all about what you believe. Now, whether I'm full of hot air or not, that's going to be up to you. But I'm telling you, that's what God's Word says. This is what he did. And he loves you in a personal way. In a personal way. He knows you. Knows your name. And here's what thrills me. He knows my past and still loves me.
Amen.
He knows everything I've done wrong. Believe me, I've done a ton wrong in my lifetime. And still, in spite of me, he loves me. If I'll just believe. If I'll live my life for him the best I know how. And even when you become a child of God, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody does. But you live by that. You learn by that. And you go to God and ask for forgiveness. And when you do, folks, Jesus says, I forgive my own people. I forgive my people. Because he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to do the best we can. Now, there will come a day when we will be perfect. We're just not there yet. We're not there yet. But again, it's not about being perfect. It's about living for Jesus. And that's what Easter's all about, to come to celebrate. The resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection, I'd be lost. I cannot work my way into heaven. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what you've been raised. I don't care how good of a person you are. You can be the best. Some of the best people on this planet are in hell. Because if you can get there by how well you are, well, what's the challenge in that? You don't get to heaven because of how good Roger Hodge is. I get to heaven because of how great Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Roger Hodge is useless. Jesus Christ is everything.
Amen.
So when I put Jesus inside of me, that changes the whole situation. Because then I become part of his family. Because when I leave this world, world, and to those who follow me, understand, you're going to hear one of two things when you leave this world. Either depart from me, I never knew. Depart. Go to hell for eternity. Or, welcome home. Home being heaven. Home being God's amazing grace. Welcome home, thy good and faithful servant. One of two things is all you want to hear. What do you really want to hear? Do you want to hear welcome? Or get out of my sight? I mean, that's really it. It's coming down about that soon. Get out of my sight for eternity. Come on home. And there's nothing like being home when you're loved. When there's love in the home, there's nothing like it. And there's nothing any worse when there's not. But I promise you, the choices that you make, do I believe in Jesus or do I not, one day it's going to determine what you hear. Depart from me or welcome home. Now, whether you leave this world through death, everybody here is going to die at some point or another. How's that for being uplifting? Not very God uplifting. Don't you want to die? How's that? Alright? Unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. The Bible says that can happen right now. Within the sound of a trumpet, in the blink of an eye, if he comes in our lifetime, we're going to change right there. And we're going to meet him in the air. We're going to get out of this world. We're going to fly away for a while. Or, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to be left behind. But all that's within me, I promise you, you do not want to be left behind. You think this world is hell now, you haven't seen anything yet to what's coming. That is the gospel truth. And I really just tell you that because I don't want, when I meet my Lord one day, because I'm going to be held accountable for what I've said for over 40 years and what I've done. I've got enough to hold me accountable for, believe me. But I don't ever want Jesus to say, why didn't you warn him? Why didn't you warn him? You had every chance in the world, why didn't you warn him? But I do want you to be able to hear one day when you meet Jesus. You know, there was a day he was in church, and there was an old preacher preaching. And he was preaching about me, and usually I'd go in one ear and out the other. Couldn't wait to get out of the building. Couldn't wait to get somewhere to eat. Just wanted him to shut up so you could get on with your life. Depart from me, I never knew you. The choices are clear. This coming October, I'm going to celebrate 30 years here. Long time. The Lord allows me to live that long. I've given thousands of invitations. We've baptized hundreds of people here over the years. We see lives change. But let me tell you something. I've seen also hundreds of people walk out of here that's going straight to heaven. And that bothers me and it hurts me. But see, I can't make that decision for you. I can't do that. Nobody will force you to do that. See, if you don't come to Jesus on your own free will, then you don't come. You come because you know you're loved. You know that you are loved because Jesus says he loves you. My hope and prayer is that you know Jesus. Seriously? You're in his house. You come into his house. You're worshiping him. Because I promise you, the clock is running. One day that trumpet's going to sound. So help me as I stand here, it's going to sound. Stand with me. See if we get a bow, if we realize it. Father, the precious and holy name of Jesus. Father, your amazing grace is in this place. Father, it is my prayer that you truly touch the lives of these people. Father, some I know very well, some I don't know at all. But Father, you know every soul that's here today. You know the ones that are saved. You know the ones that are lost. Father, the time is at hand. No one is promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation.
What?
We don't expect you to know the Bible. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And I'm going to welcome you into the kingdom of God. And believe me, there is not a decision any greater on this planet that you can make in your lifetime than to accept Jesus Christ. Father, bless these moments. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Would you come in the name of Jesus?